Hello.
Welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 156. Woo. For August 9th, Chance Watson and Molly Roberts.
Hello.
Bring you the news today. And this episode is brought to you by two different sponsors. First, the North Idaho State Fair. They're set to celebrate its 100th anniversary this year from August 19th to 28th and want you to join in on the fun. From monster trucks and extreme bull riding to carnival rides and live concerts, there's something for everyone at the fair. Tickets are now on sale for the fair's concert series, which include performances by Jordan Davis, Skillet, and the All-American Rejects. Ooh. For tickets and more information, visit NISFAIR, FAIR.fun.
This is also brought to you by Galena. America's gold and silver-owned Galena mine in Wallace, Idaho, is currently accepting applications for the position of maintenance supervisor. The maintenance supervisor is responsible for overseeing all aspects of maintenance needs. The ideal candidate for the position would have an associate's degree in a maintenance-related field, 5+ years of experience, and 2+ years in a supervisory role. This role is an excellent opportunity to work on a variety of projects, take charge of your career, and make a difference on a small team in a dynamic work environment. America's Gold and Silver offers competitive wages, a full employee benefit package, which includes medical, dental, vision, life and disability insurance, PTO, 401k, and pension plan. To apply for this and any other open positions at the Galena Mine, visit www.americas-gold.com/careers.
All right. So if you're looking to go down underground.
That's right.
Supervise some maintenance.
Galena's looking.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Molly.
Yes.
So in the last episode, we talked about some big news about our ticket giveaway to the All-American Rejects going at the fair.
Yes, we did.
Which we'll be announcing the winner to that on August 19th. But I spoke with the folks over at the fair, the fine folks at the fair.
Fine fair folks.
And we need to do a little more cool stuff before we get to that date.
We need to give away some more stuff.
We're going to give away some more stuff.
Aww,
so
yeah.
Unplanned, unsolicited. We're going to do a North Idaho Now, North Idaho State Fair teaser pack giveaway. This pack is 2 admission tickets to the fair, a parking pass, and a special surprise. So it could be a cool t-shirt or a hat or a glass or you know, something like that that's fair themed.
Cool.
We're going to do one of these every episode up until the 19th when we do the big giveaway for the fair. So, Molly, this morning we did a completely, totally random.
We really did. I wrote down random. If you really want to know how the sausage is made,
I was going to say, we can walk you guys through the incredible process. We have a supercomputer, okay? Like Batman's supercomputer.
Yes, we do.
I run the names.
I don't know why you're telling them about our supercomputer, but okay.
I run the names through the Bat computer. Is that what he calls it? The Bat computer?
The Bat computer.
Run that. And through a series of very complex algorithms, we have come to a name.
Yes, we have.
And that name, ladies and gentlemen, Carissa Feliciano.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Carissa, you have won yourself 2 tickets to the fair, parking pass, and a special surprise that will be announced at a later time. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thanks for following the North Idaho Now Facebook page.
So people can, whoever, it's still, they just want to share, like, comment on the pinned post.
Yes.
On the North Idaho Now Facebook page.
And we are going to be annoying you with this pretty much until we do the giveaway. Because we want to give away the tickets.
We want to give away some prizes. Entertaining you until then.
Right.
Not annoying
No,
you.
We would never annoy anybody. That is not.
No.
Our voices are so soothing.
Thank you.
Like you could fall asleep to it. It's like the white noise machine.
Mm-hmm. You just put us.
Just throw on the North Idaho Now podcast.
Our dulcet tones.
You are falling asleep now.
Uh-oh. We were listening to that podcast earlier about hypnotism and stuff, and I don't know.
Those are ocean noises.
Well, I'm asleep.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired.
Woo!
Okay. So, once again, everybody, just a reminder on that. If you're looking to win tickets for the All-American Rejects, that's going to be 4 tickets. That concludes admission to the fair and a parking pass.
Wow.
All American Rejects, $205 or $206 value. Wow. We're giving that away. August 19th is the giveaway. We'll only be announcing the winner on the show. So I would tune in that day at bare minimum. If you just follow our fun stuff on Facebook, and that it's fine, you know, whatever. But you're missing out.
You are certainly missing out. But
August 19th, if you enter, I would listen in on that day to make sure that you do not miss your tickets.
Don't miss your tickets. Yep. Don't miss us reading your name.
Absolutely.
From our supercomputer that we've randomly generated.
That also finds crime.
Gosh, it's really quite the computer. I don't know how we have it here, but...
I don't know. It's Bruce Wayne money, I guess. Because we're secretly millionaires.
Money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously. Crime-fighting secret millionaires.
We are crime-fighting secret millionaires.
That would be it. You know, every most journalists are secretly superheroes.
Okay. You're really giving it.
You're really...
Yikes!
Chance, shut up.
Cut.
we'll edit all this out. It's fine. No, this won't make the final cut. There's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way. Absolutely not. Okay. Molly, You had a special day.
I had a special day. I may sound older to you guys. That's because I am now 32
Whoa.
Instead of 31.
Whoa, Molly.
I know. We're really creeping up.
How was the birthday?
It was good. It was good. Sunday I went to Coeur d'Alene with my significant other. Mm-hmm. And we went to watch Thor, which I had already seen, but I was more than happy
to see
it
watch again.
And I got the collectible popcorn tin and collectible drink. So that was very exciting.
That's cool.
So that was great.
Did you do any of the fun downtown Coeur d'Alene stuff?
Went kind of through Art on the Green a little bit, but not a whole lot. Just
not as much as years past.
Yeah. I think we went to the beach kind of more secluded.
Sure.
You know, I wasn't quite prepared for all of the big crowds of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Right. So, no, that was good. And then yesterday I had some family dinner. It was good. Yeah.
It was a
great, great, nice, relaxing birthday.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
I myself popped into the street fair. That was downtown Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was Art on the Green,
right,
per se.
Yeah.
But I did
Art
walk.
Art on the Green was down at the campus, and then there was the street fair.
I walked through the street fair a little bit, so I got to see a couple of the booths. I had a good Saturday, too. I got to see some family that came in. My best friend and his wife had a baby shower.
Nice.
So I got to pop in for that. That was cool.
Good.
Also tried kava for the first time.
Kava, okay.
I described it, and I, in hindsight, I felt very bad. But the owner of the establishment asked the whole point of giving you straight kava. Apparently, at first, it's on the house. He wants you to try it.
Okay.
Is so you know how bad it is. So like you appreciate how good they make it. Like when they mix it into a drink or something like that.
Yeah.
So he just gives you like a straight, like it almost looks like a little bowl of like espresso.
Uh-huh.
But muddy water.
Ooh.
It looks like. Yes. Molly's looking at kava right
it
now.
Up. Yeah.
So when I drank it, I my knee jerk reaction to him was I just drank dirty Novocaine.
Oh.
Because it makes your mouth and your throat
like
kind of numb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. A little bit. And it tastes like dirt. A little bit like dirt. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Apparently, it's supposed to be for relaxation.
Huh.
It's used in the South Pacific for certain things.
Yeah, this is Mediterranean.
Yeah.
So what restaurant was this at?
It's an establishment. I won't because I mean maybe they should get sponsorship. That'd be cool. But it's an establishment kind of near the record store on Government. The old establishment, the old surplus store.
I know what establishment you're speaking of.
The kava is in the name of the establishment, so.
Well, interesting. Okay. I'm interested. I'm intrigued by
I am
kava.
Not saying that it is. I would definitely try it again. It's not like a bad thing. And their whole thing is they wanted you to try it.
Right.
Bite, scratch.
So
like when you get like an actual like mixed fruity drink or whatever. You go, oh, okay, this is actually really good.
Interesting.
I can still, yeah. Okay. But apparently has a lot of properties, and it, you know, it's apparently good for you.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So I got to try that, and I did some dancing.
Right.
Got to go do some dancing.
Some Nashville North dancing.
Yes, got to do some country swing. Woo-wee. That was pretty fun.
Put on your cowboy boots.
Man, at this point, it's really more workout. That place is, it gets so hot in there.
I bet.
And
I've been in Nashville North once, mm-hmm. but I went to this one place in Salt Lake City. And yeah. I mean, there were so many, right, and they're all dancing. And, yep. But they are also sweating so much.
Yeah.
I mean, understandably, of course, but.
It's a blast. It's totally fun. But
you're cardio. You're swinging enough
heart rate
human
is
about.
Up. Yep.
And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great cardio.
I'm sure.
Great cardio.
I also went to Pinehurst Days this weekend
for the first time in a while. Right, out in the Silver Valley. Yeah, yeah.
Out in the Silver Valley. Yeah. So I saw burnouts. If you're not sure what burnouts are, which. There was a good amount of people that I spoke to that had no idea what burnouts were.
It's not an everybody thing.
It's not an everybody thing, and which I get. So, Chance, maybe you can explain a little bit how you do a burnout. You push the brakes.
The whole point is to burn out your tires.
Yes.
Squealing some rubber, making some smoke.
A lot of smoke.
Some of them have colored smoke tires.
Yes.
You know, throw that on there, too.
Yeah, we had some. There was one with green smoke.
Yes.
That was kind of cool.
Yes,
so,
blowing out tires. While you're doing that, you know, there's many ways that you can win in the contest. Mm-hmm. There's longest distance,
very very kind
loudest
of
pop.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes,
kind, you know,
some redneck fun.
Some redneck fun.
But you know what?
You know,
a little redneck fun is pretty fun now here and there.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I did. I had a good time.
It can be a good time.
I took a ridiculous amount of pictures. Which
that's
is good.
That is good.
But I was looking.
You got a cool. You
like,
got a cool photo for the news press.
I did.
And we'll read
I
that
was,
story
I
here in a second.
I did like that. The photo that I got for the news.
Yeah, that
press.
Turned out.
Yeah.
That turned out really well. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff does pretty well. I and I don't know if it's still going or not, but I remember one of my favorite redneck events that kind of tours around North Idaho is the lawnmower races.
Okay.
Those are always somebody stocks up a lawnmower,
right?
And you know, you just drag race down a road.
Uh-huh.
That can be kind of fun.
That could be fun.
That
is
pretty cool. Like, but I think of it as like the same thing as like you went to Radio Brewing.
Soapbox
like same thing. Yeah, that's super cool too.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. super fun. So like that kind of stuff is super cool.
Yeah.
All right, Molly. Without further ado, are we ready to move into some news?
I think so.
All right. Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. I always thought it was funny that we laugh about that. Quebec and Canada are, I mean, Quebec is in Canada.
It is.
There are a few people in Quebec that probably don't want to be part of Canada, but Quebec, Canada, and Nevada, they're the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills built over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. Takes into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headlines for Saturday, August 6th. Headline, Budget Planning Jam. Mm. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Okay. The County Assessor's Office delayed completion of 2022 property rolls that has left the Kootenai County Taxing District unable to finalize their budgets.
Hmm.
Idaho law requires that each county auditor release the final new construction roll by the fourth Monday in July and the remaining rolls by the first Monday in August. These property rolls detail appraisal values, which taxing districts use to create their budgets. The rolls are meant to be provided to the county auditor by the assessor's office no later than the fourth Monday in June. But the Kootenai County Assessor's Office missed that June deadline and did not deliver the rolls to the auditor before that office's July and August deadlines. In Idaho counties, the clerk serves as the county auditor and is responsible for preparing the annual county budget for the Board of County Commissioners. In a memorandum issued July 22nd, Kootenai County Clerk Jim Brannon informed the county's taxing districts that he'd learned the values would not be available in time for his office to meet its deadlines. Kootenai County Assessor Bella Kovacs said in a memorandum issued Thursday that the delay was due in part to an extraordinarily high volume of assessment value appeals. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. More than 700 Kootenai County property owners appealed their 2022 value assessments. Just 81 appeals were filed last year, while 76 were filed in 2020. Kovacs said the deadline had to be extended another week until July 27th because of a processing error in his office. Legislative changes that went into effect this year reportedly necessitated changes to the computer systems used by the assessor's office. Kovacs said his office encountered problems while making the changes, causing further delays. Kovacs indicated on Thursday that nearly all property tax rolls had been processed. He said his office provided the complete values to the county clerk around 6:40 p.m. Friday. Sandy Rudy, finance director for the city of Hayden, said she never seen this happen before. Quote, "It is not normal," she said. Rudy said Hayden created a tentative budget based on high estimated property values in the hopes of adjusting down to the final figures when they become available. Quote, "We try to estimate new construction much higher than we thought it would be," she said. She noted that the unusually high number of assessment appeals contributed to the delay. Quote, "I don't know if there's really anybody to blame," she said. "It was just an unfortunate series of events." Christopher Way, the fire chief for Kootenai County Fire and Rescue, said the delay has had major impacts. Quote, "We want to be transparent about our budget, but we're not getting accurate information from the assessor's office," he said. "Taxpayers want to know what the levy rate is going to be," Way said, "but for now, he can only work off a best guess. If property values hold true to his agency's estimates, taxes may go down," he said. "But I can't say that for sure until I see the numbers." Way said he is as frustrated by the delays as the other taxpayers in Kootenai County. Quote, "We're in the same boat," he said. "This has truly hindered our budget process." It happens, you know?
It does happen.
Also at the same time, when government is not necessarily the most efficient vehicle, I don't think anybody's truly surprised.
Right, exactly. Yeah, not efficient. Not
government is not moving at the speed of light.
Surprising. Breaking news.
Whoa.
All right. The really big weekend. This is by Bill Bewley. The line was long for Trophy Elk Burgers on Friday. That's pretty much what owner Karen Botai expected. Quote, "It's always a hit wherever we go," the Rathdrum resident said as she looked after burgers covered with slices of cheese on the grill. It's the 10th year she and her team are taking part in Taste of Coeur d'Alene at City Park. One of the biggest weekends of the year in Coeur d'Alene got off to a spectacular start with thousands of visitors on a sunny Friday with temperatures about 80 degrees. Art on the Green was going on at North Idaho College while the street fair was happening on Sherman Avenue. Pretty much, there was any kind of food you might want, including Italian sausage sandwich, Philly cheesesteak, Middle Eastern fare, and huckleberry ice cream. Handmade crafts, carvings, photographs, tattoos, and leatherworks await, as does jewelry, dresses, caps, and even running shoes.
Yeah, so we kind of talked a little bit about that.
Lots going on, we did.
Lots going on down there.
I avoided it a little bit because there was so much going on.
Yeah, it's
fun. I mean,
as a native of the area, you can appreciate it, but at the same
really
time,
can.
You're like,
ah. Art of Green's really fun. Right, but when you're not really preparing for it, and it's like, oh, no, I don't want to be around.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of goes, some people like make traditions of these events, like
they go
every year.
Yes.
And that's totally fine. I'm just not one of those people.
Right.
Usually I'm more of in the camp of like, I went once, it was cool.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I don't need to go again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Sunday, August 7th headlines. Voters may decide on safety in Hayden. Voters may decide on safety in Hayden. Like,
okay.
Like we were going to decide if we're not safe.
Right. It's versus not purge.
Right. So people who read just the headlines might be very confused. Like, you know, they say read more than just the headline. You go, voters may decide on safety in Hayden. Maybe.
They do.
Perhaps.
Some good advice.
We might,
read more than
they
that
might
advice.
Decide to be safe. So, which implies that it's currently not safe.
It's currently not. Hayden is not safe.
It's just Armageddon in Hayden right now. It's just dogs without horses. They're just running wild. This is by Devin Weeks. A citizen safety task force is expected to recommend to Hayden City Council members that they ask voters to approve an override levy to pay for additional police presence in the city. The potential ballot measure is expected to be discussed by the council during its regular meeting at 5 p.m. Tuesday. The Hayden Citizen Task Force planned to bring its recommendation to the council after reaching consensus during the task force's July 6 meeting. The consensus of the members was for the city to fund 7.5 to 9.5 deputies. How do you get half a deputy?
I I know what probably what they mean is it's like halftime, but it does crack me up that it's like Seth. I'm the half deputy.
There's definitely a short person joke in here, but I'm just gonna let that one go.
Assigned to Hayden, maintain the school resource officer program and keep officer safety as a high priority. Traffic problems include speeding as well as increased crime were cited as the reasons for the need to increase deputies. Other areas of importance were noted by the task force include desire to be proactive, achieve 24/7 coverage, desire for more patrol for safety, safe community, increased response time to fund the increase in deputies. The task force consensus was to recommend to the city council a ballot measure for a levy to override, which would allow the city to collect additional taxes beyond the statutory budget increase limit. A long-term strategic plan for law enforcement services in Hayden was suggested during the task force meeting. Task force members also discussed sharing information about the need for increased law enforcement through a variety of community meetings. Information would include a method for property owners to calculate the impact of increased would have on their property taxes. Hayden City Hall is at 8930 North Government Way. Yeah, they talked about that for a while. Even the idea of Hayden police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now they contract with the sheriff's office. This is what it's been referred to. They're trying to get more money to pay for the sheriff's office to get more police coverage.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that would be there's lots of options.
Lots of options. And the purge is not happening in Hayden.
No.
So it's okay, everyone.
No, it's not.
It's not Armageddon. It's all right. It's okay. There's a task force.
All crime is legal in Hayden. Just kidding. That's a joke.
In Hayden. All right. New home for Old Glory. This is by Bill Bewley. As the American flag was raised at St. Thomas Cemetery on Sunday, Ann Wilson held her hand to her chest and watched with pride. This was the moment the last 18 months had been building toward. This was why the founder of the Stars and Stripes Ministry of St. Thomas Catholic Church was committed to this project. Quote, "I am overwhelmed and just feel so blessed," Wilson said on a sunny afternoon. Quote, "It turned out beautifully." With about 100 people looking on, the new Veterans Monument was dedicated at the cemetery at the east end of Sherman Avenue. The short patriotic ceremony included the presentation of colors, a blessing, and singing of the national anthem. It was held on Purple Heart Day, which honors those who served within the military and received the Purple Heart for bravery and sacrifice. Many donors helped raise about $25,000 for the monument, with a flagpole that reaches just over 22 feet toward the sky. A light will shine so it can fly at night from its post near the center of the cemetery. John Thomasette, MC, said it will pay tribute to men and women of the military, past, present, and future. Quote, "It's all about veterans." The monument base has six sides, with each honoring a service: Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Merchant Marines. It includes this statement also on the base: "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Nearly 500 veterans are interred at the cemetery.
Okay. Excellent. Very cool.
Very nice.
Great little thing to honor our vets.
Very nice.
All right, moving on. Watts Appliances has been provided. It has been providing incomparable customer service to the Silver Valley for over 50 years. The family-owned and operated business has a wealth of knowledge regarding appliances and the brands they sell. Whether you're in need of a new washing machine or have questions about refrigerators, Watts Appliance is ready to help. Visit wattsappliance.com or stop by and visit at 3 North Division Street in Pinehurst. Takes into Monday, August 8th headlines.
Woo!
Officials. Headline for Monday, August 8th, Molly's birthday.
I don't know why we didn't do
Happy
that.
Happy birthday, Molly Roberts.
I was in charge of the budget. Why didn't I do that?
I don't. I mean, we got it in there. It's there. It's... Headline, Molly Roberts' birthday.
It's just a big selfie of me.
Just a big standalone photo.
It's a collage of all my selfies. Okay, all right. Sorry. Moving back to the news. I got excited.
I'm all about it. All right, Monday, August 8th, officials choose contractor. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Kootenai County Commissioners voted Monday to choose a contractor to provide birthday services for Molly Roberts.
Finally, thank you, Kootenai County Commissioners.
Provide construction management services for a planned $22 million addition to the Justice Building located on the county's main campus in downtown Coeur d'Alene.
Not $22 million to me.
No.
Dang it.
Nope. Commissioners Leslie Duncan and Chris Villios voted to award the construction management contract to Spokane-based Boughton Construction, while Commissioner Bill Brooks abstained from the vote. The county will enter price negotiations with Boughton Construction for the project management services. Filios said construction could begin as soon as spring of 2023 and last between 18 and 24 months. The expansion will add three courtrooms, as well as a secure detention area and office space for the Kootenai County Sheriff's Office, district court employees, prosecutors, and other county staff. Federal dollars will pay for the project via the American Rescue Plan Act. Brooks has criticized the project, especially its price tag, which is about $4 million higher than he wanted. Though Brooks doesn't oppose the county accepting ARPA funds, he said he objects to spending the bulk of the money on the Justice Building expansion. For that reason, he abstained from the vote. Quote, "I think it's fundamentally flawed," he said. Filio said the expansion is badly needed. The county needs more space for employees, including prosecutors and public defenders. Such employees need proximity to downtown and can't be accompanied at the recently acquired Kootenai Electric Building in Hayden, Filio said. Quote, "We don't have enough courtrooms for the amount of judges we have," he said, adding that the number of judges in the county is based on population size. Kind of a long-going saga that we've talked about for a while now. The jail needs expansion. The Justice Building needs expansion. It's a growing community.
It is.
I think, you know, how and where the money comes from, I know is debated about, but I don't think there's very many people that disagree that these expansions need to take place.
Need to happen.
And it just based solely on the fact that the population up here in North Idaho is exploding.
Growing. Mm-hmm.
So makes total sense. All right, moving in. Tuesday, August 9th.
Property values delay concerns county clerk. This is by Kay Thornbrew. The delay by the Kootenai County Assessor's Office in providing the county's property values to the auditor could result in property owners paying more taxes than are needed by local taxing districts for their fiscal year 2023 budgets, according to Kootenai County Clerk Jim Brannon. After Kootenai County Assessor Bella Kovacs delivered the 2022 property values Friday night, more than a month late, staff from the auditor's office raced to provide them to taxing districts. In Idaho counties, the clerk serves as a county auditor and is responsible for preparing the annual county budget for the Board of County Commissioners. The office also notifies every taxing district of the total taxable valuation of all property located within each district, using information from the assessor. Kovacs said his office electronically provided the values to the clerk around 6:40 p.m. Friday. Clerk Jim Brannon told the press that Kovacs' email contained a disclaimer that there appears to be an imbalance on this roll. Brannon said he requested that his office immediately review the stated imbalance.
There's a disturbance in the tax rolls.
There's a disturbance.
There's an imbalance in the force.
That's what we did Saturday instead of going to Art on the Green, Brannon said Monday. Despite the disclaimer, Brannon said his staff determined that the values were balanced. He expected to provide the values to the county's taxing districts Monday afternoon. Idaho law requires each county auditor to release the final new construction roll by the fourth Monday in July and the remaining rolls by the first Monday in August. But Brannon's office did not receive the rolls from the assessor until almost a week after the second deadline, and more than a month after the assessor's deadline to provide them the fourth Monday in June. Quote, "We have to get this done," Brannon said. "I've got 60 taxing districts that are depending on this." In order to calculate the levy rate, taxing districts need the current year's assessed property values. Because the assessor had not provided the values, all taxing districts in Kootenai County had to create preliminary budgets based on estimated revenue rather than official data.
That's why Hayden's not safe right now.
Brannon said, That's cause for concern. Mm-hmm. Quote, everybody is going to be estimating high because they didn't have values. After doing the budget hearings, if they approve just what they estimated, the county taxpayers are going to pay more than what they need. Brannon said that the situation is unprecedented. By law, his office should have at least a month to work with the values provided by the assessor. Instead, they had less than one business day. Quote, it's very, very late and has never happened before. I've been clerk for almost 9 years. Never, ever has it been late like this. Ever. Woo. Never, ever.
A little follow-up on the story we read earlier. Moving on. The miner is a major player.
Excellent.
It's by Bill Bealey. If you want to meet the man behind the miner, next Monday is your chance. Mm. Local artist Terry Lee is scheduled to take part in the dedication of the bronze statue at 3 p.m. Monday at 6th and Front Avenue in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Of his five creations standing tall in front of McEwen Park, quote, the miner is a sentimental favorite. Quote, this one is the one I have been itching to do, he said. Mm. The miner was commissioned by Hecla Mining for $50,000 and donated to the city. A plaque at the base of the statue reads, dedicated to the men and women who created Idaho's world-renowned Silver Valley and continue to provide the minerals essential to our lives. And to Art Brown, president and CEO, 1987 to 2003, Hecla Mining Company. Brown passed away February 9th, 2022 in Surprise, Arizona. He was 81. Members of the Brown family are expected to attend. Lee's other works at 6th and Front, American Worker, Idaho Farmer, Idaho Lumberjack, and most recent, The Suffragist, installed in August of 2020. He said most people today don't know that Coeur d'Alene was once home to five lumber mills or of impact of farming on the Rathdrum Prairie or how mining once dominated the Silver Valley. Lee said, quote, the miner took a little longer than normal due to a change in the composition, but it came together well. It is joined by an ore cart that weighs 600 pounds. Lee has deep ties to mining. He said his family members operated a sporting goods store for a time in Coeur d'Alene, and miners were among his best customers. They worked hard and often spent money on outdoors and guns. Nothing wrong with that. Lee said farming, lumber, and mining have been the big three driving forces in North Idaho's work history, and he's proud to honor them. Coeur d'Alene Arts Commission Chair Mary Lee Riba will open and close the ceremony. Lee and a Hecla spokesperson are also expected to say a few words. Right. Little transition into the Shoshone News Press headlines there with a cool statue that honors the mining industry out here in the Silver Valley.
Pretty cool.
If you're looking for a refreshing locally made beer, check out Radiant Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. The taproom is open 7 days a week. They offer delicious craft beer and awesome snack and food options. To learn more, visit RadiantBrewingCompany.com. Radiant Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole.
In your mouth hole.
Moves into Shoshone News Press headlines for Tuesday, August 9th. I got this one. Headline, New Owners at Country Lane. Mm. This is by Josh McDonald. Country Lane River Resort is under new ownership. The popular North Fork summer camping and eating spot was recently purchased through a partnership between Merle and Amy Jones and their longtime friends Chris and Angelina Johnson. Merle Jones took a few minutes recently to chat with the news press and introduce himself and his business partners to the Silver Valley. Lifelong RV enthusiasts, following their respective retirements, Chris and Merle began tossing around the idea of opening their own RV park. Living in central Washington, it was almost as simple as choosing a direction and simply driving, but their initial efforts took them south. But they didn't find a spot that stood out and grabbed their attention. Quote, we traveled the roads together throughout the Northwest for many years, Jones said. We have always talked about it, but after we decided to really pursue it, we did a lot of homework and originally began looking in Oregon, but nothing was really standing out. But then Chris and Angelina noticed a few existing parks that were for sale in the Idaho Panhandle and decided to check it out. Merle told the news press that their first time seeing Country Lane was January 5th of this year. Quote, it was buried under about 5 feet of snow, and we absolutely fell in love, he said. The new owners aren't being thrown into the wolves with their new venture either. Ellie McDonald, one of the previous owners of the resort, has agreed to stay on through the summer season and help them get their feet under them. For fans of Country Lane, they'll be pleased to hear that outside from a few beautification projects, the new owners don't have a ton of plans to change the feel of the resort and have even talked about expanding it a bit in order to be open year-round. That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Quote, we want to make this place where people say wow when they come in, Jones said. We might expand and add a few yurts or tiny homes. We want to tap into the hunting and snowmobiling crowd up here as much as we do the summer camping and floating crowd. Smart move. The new owners are also going to emphasize adding more live music and events, like the Ladies Glamp Out event this past weekend, or the upcoming River Float Poker Run next weekend. Mm. Could be difficult to play poker while floating, but interested to see it.
Right.
Above all else, Jones wants to express his thanks for the welcoming atmosphere and looks forward getting to know his new neighbors in the Silver Valley community. Quote, "We're really excited to be called North Idahoans," Jones said. "We plan to call this place home and want to earn the locals' trust." Country Lane River Resort is located at 6010 Old River Road in Kingston. For more information, can be found on their Facebook page or by calling 208-682-2698.
Excellent.
Molly, you been up to Country Lane River Resort?
I have before, yes. I have. Not a whole lot, but...
No, not a whole lot either. I went up there fairly recently for something that they had going on. Mm-hmm. They had like a taster event or something like that.
Okay, yeah,
I went up there. Nice little place.
Very nice, yeah. It is. Alrighty, next one I wrote about Pinehurst Days. Pinehurst celebrates freedom. Blue skies, smiles, and American flags could be seen all weekend, sprinkled throughout the streets of Pinehurst for the 52nd annual Pinehurst Days. The Pinehurst Kingston Lions organized the family-friendly weekend event, hosting old and new traditions for everyone to enjoy. The festivities kicked off Friday evening with an eclectic array of vendors, a delicious barbecue steak dinner at the PK Lions building, and a movie on the lawn for families to enjoy at Real Life Ministries Silver Valley. Quote, "It really was a great turnout and everyone seemed to have a wonderful time," said Bruce Rumpel, who's a member of the PK Lions and has helped organize the event for years. Saturday had a little bit of everything, beginning with a delectable breakfast at the PK Lions Club and an epic parade, are you ready, Chance? That lasted around 30 minutes.
Sounds like my hell.
Wow. The parade featured floats, old cars, children riding their bikes, and participants throwing candy and free merch out to the crowd. Once again, 30 minutes. Ugh, epic.
Just the worst.
Saturday also held the annual barbecue cook-off and golf scramble at the Pinehurst Golf Course. There was the ever-popular Comancheros Car Show was celebrated, with many experienced and expert classic car owners showing off their stunning custom builds with fans young and old. As locals perused the vendor wares and adolescents practiced at the BMX park, the popular Silver Valley band Spherewood rocked the crowd before everyone made their way to the Dyke Road for the annual burnouts. What a nice little thing that is. This year the crowd was massive, with many in attendance needing to stand despite the added bleacher seating. Quote, "It was the best turnout for the burnouts yet," said Miranda Elam, who ran the burnouts with her husband. Quote, "Everyone who participated in the burnouts won something. So such a wonderful turnout for the whole weekend, and it's so great to have something in Pinehurst," said Katie Ross, who volunteered with the burnouts. If you're interested in checking out some winners from the different events, go ahead and check them out in the article online, the Shoshone News Press. It was fun. Fun, fun, fun.
Fun, 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 fun.
Fun, 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 fun.
I did like the one year where they made it Star Trek Next Generation themed. That was pretty
cool. I was looking stuff up and I saw, and I was like,
the
what?
Next Generation.
I know. I saw the logo and yeah, I was like,
oh, I nerded out pretty good.
Is this just a chance thing?
Or they did do they this just
really
for me.
Do? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they. No, that was no, cool. That was them. That was just a happy coincidence.
Pretty cool.
Home of the lowest prices on all things outdoor since 1975, Black Sheet Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. Takes into Bonner County Daily Bee headlines coming out of Sandpoint for Saturday, August 6th. Headline, Diamond Watch fire exceeds initial attack. This is the first story in this. We have a small update at the end of the headlines for this, but this is the first one that came out on Saturday. This is by Carolyn Lobsinger. Since it was started by lightning in mid-July, the Diamond Watch fire has exceeded the initial attack, United States Forest Service officials said in a press release Friday. The fire, now estimated at 120 acres, or then, rather, is being fought by 24 personnel. Located 5.5 miles due west of Nordman, the fire was reported July 14th and is listed at 0%. 100% contained. Burning on a ridge to the east of Diamond Peak in Ponderay County, smoke from the fire can be seen from the Priest Lake area. The fire is burning in timber litter, which with jackpots of heavier fuels in dense forest canopy. Quote, an infrared flight mapped the recent growth at 120 acres, with most of the heat showing now on the south aspect, Kerry Maddox, Forest Service Fire Information Officer, said. This growth is associated with a predicted uptick in fire behavior due to high temperatures, winds, and periods of very low relative humidity. The fire behavior is moderate with flanking, backing, and isolated torching seen. Overall flanking and backing has been observed, with some short uphill flanking observed Wednesday. Fire is expected to creep to the west and south as steeper slopes allow for banking and flanking. While a low relative humidity helped the fire grow, Forest Service officials said those levels are expected to increase, which combined with cooler temperatures should slow the fire's growth. Forest Service officials said the Diamond Watch fire is considered a suppression fire with a confinement strategy. Quote, suppression activities are occurring where they have the greatest probability of success while limiting exposure to firefighting resources, Maddox said. While there are no closures or evacuations associated with the fire, Forest Service officials said residents living in fire-prone areas should have an evacuation plan in place. Forest Service officials asked residents and visitors to the area to be on the lookout for the fire traffic, and heavy equipment in the area. Crews are utilizing Forest Service Roads 1362 and 308, with minor delays likely on Forest Service Road 308. For more information, check out NCI web at web.nwcg.gov/incident/8264.
All right.
INSEE Web is a pretty useful tool.
It is. All right. Trial is set in battery case. This is by Daniel Radford. A Sagal resident is facing charges of felony battery and misdemeanor resisting arrest following an argument late May. Cody Harrison, 44, was arrested by Bonner County Sheriff's deputies after being reported for domestic battery. A friend of the alleged victim decided to report the events 3 days after they occurred when she saw the damage, which the alleged victim said that Harrison had inflicted. Court documents describe severe bruising, with one bruise on the back of her right arm described as deep blue and purple, and estimated at the time as being about 11 by 5 inches in size. According to court documents, as the alleged victim was getting ready for work, Harrison became jealous. He is reported to have called her slurs, causing the alleged victim to attempt to leave. When she tried to leave the room, Harrison is alleged to have grabbed the victim's right arm, squeezing so tightly that the victim's arm went numb. The incident was only reported after the victim sent photos of the bruising to a friend, who then decided to report the incident to law enforcement. When Bonner County deputies made contact with the alleged victim, they asked her why she did not call in the incident immediately. According to the affidavit of probable cause, she explained that she would feel guilty. She told law enforcement she was concerned that the situation could escalate. Harrison was confronted at his place of work by deputies who asked about the argument. According to court documents, at one point, stated presumptively something to the effect of, "I didn't beat her, man." Deputy Alex Glock reminded him that
well,
neither
I'm
deputy...
convinced.
Yeah, I don't think he did it. Oh, I didn't beat her, man. Deputy Alex Glock reminded him that neither deputy have accused him of beating anyone. Oh, boy. Mm. The affidavit noted that Harrison had an overwhelming odor of alcohol when he spoke to the officers. When the deputy told him that he was under arrest for felony domestic battery, Harrison refused to turn around, batted the deputy's arm away, don't do that, and then attempted to dash between the deputies. He was tackled and charged for resisting or obstructing officers. Harrison's jury trial will begin August 15th. Well, I'm glad something is being done.
Yeah.
It's definitely not an easy situation.
No, it's
not
definitely not.
At all.
And introducing alcohol into that
is rarely
going to make things ever better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, moving on. PRMAW notes 2 decades of helping. This is by Bo White Eagle. For 20 years, Priest River Ministries Advocates for Women has been helping the victims of domestic and sexual violence. The organization got its start in 2002 after founding member Rhonda Encinas, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go with that, saw the need during a Healing Hearts Bible study meeting. Encinas, who is a survivor of domestic violence, asked the men and women in the group if anyone had been involved in sexual or domestic violence. When Encinas received the results, she was shocked. The group's Catherine Begalki. Catherine Begalki said Encinas realized it was a problem in the community, she said. After that questionnaire, Begalki and Encinas began separating the group for meetings. Those who were survivors of sexual or domestic violence went to the back of the church, while those who had not went to the front. Quote, so they had security guards essentially in the front of the room, and then they could talk and be very open and free about their past experience. Begalki said Encinas then decided to attend a peace and safety program at the Christian Home Conference. With the resources and education from the conference, Begalki said the biggest takeaway was the relationships built with others dedicated to helping survivors of domestic and sexual violence. Armed with the resources and knowledge not only from her own experience, but the relationships and education of the conference, Begalki said Encinas took additional steps to not only aid women and children in violent situations, she began supplying clothing and establishing a 24/7 crisis hotline and formed a 501c3 to make PRMAW a nonprofit organization. Since then, the organization has opened several shelter locations, including a second office in Sandpoint, held several fundraising events, built a dog kennel, and expanded its services to include paralegals. Quote, she, Encinas, really likes to drive home the point that reducing stress at home really does and can reduce violence. In the past 20 years, PRMAW has helped 14,000 women and children from connecting them with resources to get out of a bad situation to one-on-one counseling to deal with the trauma. To celebrate the first two decades, the organization held an event during the final weekend of July. Begalki said the nonprofit was able to hold the celebration at no cost to PRMAW thanks to generous donations from Return Retreats, and Century 21 Agent Susie Hatfield. Assistance from the Priest River Event Center was invaluable. Encinas was awarded the Domestic Shelter's Lifetime Achievement Award, which qualifies PRMAW to be considered for a $30,000 grant from Domestic Shelters, which will be awarded on September 14th. The event raised more than $10,000, with $5,000 being a donation match from the Idaho Forest Group. Since the event, donations continue to arrive, bringing the total to almost $11,000. All funds will be used to fund the programs and resources furthering the mission of aiding women and children. Right. Sounds like a great group.
Great group. Excellent.
What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com.
Alrighty. We are Spirit Lake resident charged in shooting. Yes. This is by Daniel Radford. A Spirit Lake man has been arrested on a second-degree murder charge following a Friday shooting. Michael L. Schofield, 64, called Bonner Dispatch late Friday afternoon saying he had just shot his best friend in the head.
Oh.
According to a Saturday, August 6th Facebook post by Bonner County Sheriff Daryl Wheeler. Wheeler said responding deputies responded to the 3400 block of Spirit Lake Cutoff Road, where they found a 66-year-old man dead in the yard. The victim's identity is being withheld pending notification of his next of kin, sheriff's officials said in the post. Schofield was detained, arrested, and charged with second-degree murder. A handgun was recovered from the scene where Schofield is said to have left the weapon on an outdoor table for law enforcement. According to the court documents, a single casing recovered from the chair in which the victim was sitting was a match to the gun Schofield left on the table. According to court documents in the 911 call, Schofield is heard saying he just killed my expletive friend. I need paramedics and cops and take my expletive to jail.
Mm.
According to court documents, Schofield's friend wagered he could get up and stab Schofield quicker than Schofield could draw and fire his gun.
Okay, continue reading. I'll read between the lines. Oof. Here in a second.
According to Detective John Van Giesen's account of his interview with the suspect in the probable cause affidavit, Schofield described drawing his pistol and shooting his friend in the head in order to prove his friend was wrong. According to the affidavit, Schofield then said, boom, you're dead. Schofield did not know if his friend had the knife on his person or not when he allegedly shot him. Schofield later blew a BAC of 0.19 and a second BAC of 0.18. A preliminary hearing has been set for August 17th. If found guilty, Schofield could face 10 years in prison.
Okay, so this little, it sounds like, based on the information we have here, this is based on something called the 21-foot rule.
Mm-hmm.
It's this now debunked, mostly debunked belief that an individual with a knife can pull said knife, and if you're within 21 feet of somebody who's holding a holstered weapon, you can close that distance and stab that person before they have time to draw and fire the weapon.
It
used to be something that was kind of held as like a, like if you come within 21 feet of me, that's my safety bubble.
Right.
And I'm going to defend myself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The 21 foot rule is pretty much debunked at this point. It's not really a thing. So when you're saying you draw the knife faster than the gun, I'm assuming that that's probably what they were going off of.
Wowie.
You could, you know, if you're playing around with this, you could easily do it with a TV remote and a Nerf gun.
Right.
You don't need to be playing around with an actual knife and an actual gun. Guns are not toys.
No, they're not toys, especially when drinking.
Yeah. Legally intoxicated. Over 0.08. Yeah. So drinking and firearms, never a good thing.
Never a good combo.
And definitely not, you know, experimenting with live ammo, seeing if you can prove the 21-foot rule wrong is definitely
I don't think.
Not great. I'm assuming it's a 21-foot rule. This is because I've heard of this situation before. Sure. I've heard of this scenario where it's a long-standing thing of like, in a more lighthearted way. You ever seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Where they become SROs at the school.
Right.
And he's always trying to, he's like, if I go up with a sword, like you can't, and he just, well, what if I dodge him? And,
right. Yeah,
so not to make light of a serious situation, but this, that's where this, you know, the obvious, it sounds like from his perspective, this was supposed to be a lighthearted thing. They weren't actually trying to kill each other. So,
unfortunately,
a dumb drunken mistake. Yikes. It sounds like,
yeah.
All right. Final story we have today. Stan helps quartet fund upcoming competitions, but this is by Bo White Eagle. This is a very happy story.
Good.
As they attempt to put an end to summer thirst, a quartet of young entrepreneurs are raising money for gymnastic competitions at the same time. Hayden Welsh, Estelle Skinner, Crystal Pepperdine, and students at Farm and Stidwell Elementary, and Olivia Myers, a student at Sealy Valley Cardin School, are the managers of the Lemon Hut, a lemonade stand reminiscent of many childhoods. The four girls opened for the first time this past weekend after Hayden came up with the idea to raise money for the girls' gymnastic competitions. The girls' parents said they told their tiny tumblers I thought they were thinking tumblers like for like drinks.
Right.
But tumblers for gymnastics. Yeah. Got it. Okay. With each competition cost being around $200 plus the cost of leotards, other necessities, and a minimum of two competitions this summer, they would be expected to find a way to earn that money and, quote, prove they wanted it. The four did just that. While it was Hayden who came up with the idea, it was her parents, Ryan and Bethany Welsh, who helped turn their daughter's entrepreneurial dream into reality. Ryan Welsh built the lemonade stand by hand, while his wife, Bethany Welsh, decided to hit two birds with one stone and organized a neighborhood yard sale. Most of the families participated in the yard sale, along with neighbors of the Welsh family, which not only helped each family get organized before school starts, but proved to be a great way to generate traffic to the Lemonade Hut. Running the yard sale and lemonade stand simultaneously during August 6th and 7th, when all was totaled up, Bethany Welsh said the girls had earned just as much money as the yard sale, which will cover half the cost for all four girls to compete in one competition. The young gymnasts and entrepreneurs not only gained support from neighbors and friends, but were visited by the Ponderay police officers, who helped spread the word through Facebook and received a shout-out on Facebook from local business business Origin 7B Lemonade and Tea, who will also be making tip donations near the end of the month. That's super cool. Quote, it's an expensive hobby for them to have an expensive hobby, but also know that they're willing to try to do something to chip away at that, said Bethany Welsh with a menu of lemonade, cookies, and raspberry drizzle. The girls plan to continue their business venture through the summer, including the weekends of August 13th, 14th, and August 20th to the 21st. So if you're feeling thirsty and you want to beat the heat and support a good cause.
That's right.
Swing by and
swing
get a nice
by the Lemon Hut.
Nice cup of lemonade, yeah.
Cute.
All right, once again, we'd like to thank the North Idaho State Fair and the Galena Mine for sponsoring this episode. North Idaho State Fair is set to celebrate its 100th anniversary this year from August 19th to the 28th and wants you to join in on the fun. Tickets are now on sale for the fair's concert series, which includes performances by Jordan Davis, Skillet, and the All-American Rejects. Woof. For tickets and more information, visit nisfair.fun. And remember, you can enter to win free tickets for the All-American Rejects by following or liking the North Idaho Now Facebook page, commenting your favorite All-American Rejects song to the pinned post at the top of the Facebook page, and sharing that post. America's Gold and Silver owned Galena Mine in Wallace, Idaho is also accepting applications for the position of maintenance supervisor. This role is an excellent opportunity to work on a variety of projects, take charge of your career, and make a difference on a small team in a dynamic work environment. America's Gold and Silver offers competitive wages, a full employee benefits package, which includes medical, dental, vision, life, and disability insurance, PTO, 401k, and a pension plan. To apply for this and any other open positions at the Galena Mine, visit www.americasgold.com/careers.
Alrighty.
Molly.
That's it for today.
Wowee. Thanks again, everybody, for listening in. Don't forget to go over to the North Idaho Now Facebook page and enter to win those free tickets and other fun prizes that we're going to give out up to August 19th.
Perfect.
Cool.
It's exciting.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.